Let's pray. Dear Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this morning. We thank you for getting us up, bringing us here, allowing us to have an opportunity to behold you and your glory. Lord, we do just say here this morning that you're worthy of our worship, you're worthy of our praise. We thank you for the songs that we could sing. We thank you for the thoughts that we could have of your glory and just your grace towards us. Lord, how you have been so very merciful towards us, especially in the giving of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank you that he indeed is the lover of our souls, and he's done for us wonderful things. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins here this morning. We thank you that because of it, we can know that peace that passes all understanding. And we do just bless you in all ways here this morning. We do thank you for those of us who can be here. We think of those who maybe even cannot be here physically or such because of either physical issues or other issues within their lives. We do thank you that you're a God of grace, you're a God of mercy, you're a God who can help us in all of our situations. And Lord, we do just think of those ones. We pray that your hand be upon them. We pray that you would be meeting them in the place that they are at. And Lord, that you would bless them as well. We do thank you here this morning that we can come and we can hear from your word. We do thank you for our brother Dave and for his willingness to come and share during this time. We do ask that you would have much grace upon him in regards to the passage that you provided. Lord, that you would lead by your Spirit and that you'd speak to our hearts and our minds. And Lord, that you would impart to us your truth and your ways. We do even thank you for this place of fellowship, and we thank you for the men who have stepped up. We thank you, dear Lord, even for the prospect of an interim pastorate and full-time in the future. We do thank you that you have grace to lead us in all these things. And Lord, would you just so provide for us during this time? We do just pray it in thy Son's name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thing on? It is now. All right. If the podium looks a little lopsided, I did not do it. So, Sonny, if you're listening, that's for you, okay? We're in the book of Acts, chapter 11, 19 to 12, 25. So, we want to turn to that, please. You know, when Keith was putting together the ministry and who was preaching on Sundays, he had this whole list, okay, and different passages and stuff. And I told him, I said, whatever anybody else doesn't take, I'll take. Well, I have the longest passage, I'm pretty sure. All right. So you're going to have to bear with me. We're going to go through it. Acts chapter 11, beginning with verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus, Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Paul, Barnabas, and Saul. Now, just a brief explanation of what's going on here. The book of Acts is an incredible book. It's a book of power. It's a book of movement. It's a book of action. It's a book where people are going and going and going, and there's no stopping. And if you remember in Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's got the disciples, and he says, I want you to wait for the Holy Spirit. And then he descends up into the heavens, and they're watching him, and he tells them, you're going to be witnesses here in Jerusalem and all these other places and throughout the world. And then the Holy Spirit comes the next chapter, and they preach the word of God, and thousands got saved. And they continued to preaching, and there continued to be problems and persecution. And we have the death of Stephen, which is talked about here. And it goes forth, and they're moving and preaching the gospel, and they're being witnesses. The word of God is getting out in an amazing fashion. And then the Gentiles get the word, which, by the way, pretty sure we're all Gentiles here. We're thankful for that today. We all have an opportunity to receive Christ. It's wonderful, and that's been God's plan. And then there was a little tussle, and there was no small stir about the Gentiles receiving the grace of God. Well, they did. They finally said, okay, great. And then they go out. And now we come to here, and it says there in verse 19, now then they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose from Stephen travailed as far as Phoenicia. And so we see there's an event here where God's people, they're on the move. They're on the move, and they go preaching. And then it says people got saved in this place called Antioch. And that's where they were. And they sent Barnabas there. And he goes, wow, something's happening here. He goes and finds Paul, brings Paul back, and they spend a whole year there. And we see a wonderful thing in the book of Acts is God's people, they moved around. They had itinerant ministry where brothers went out from Jerusalem and they went to different places. Antioch becomes a hub for Christianity. And it says there they were called Christians first in Antioch. So that's one portion of this passage. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Now Herod here, he is the grandson of Herod the Great, who killed all the children when the Lord Jesus was born. So he's got bad blood in him already. Stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Just killed him. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, gird yourself, bind on your sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out, followed him, and wist not that it was true what was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate leads unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out, and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from them. And Peter was come to himself, finally realizes, hey, something's going on here. He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and followed how Peter, told how Peter stood before the gate. I'm not sure if she was the smartest gal, but she knew what, you know, she brought the message to him. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Okay, chapter 12. We have here Herod's on the scene. Now, what's interesting is the persecution of God's people has moved from the Sadducees and the Pharisees to the government. Somehow Herod became in league with what was going on in light of God's people. And that can certainly happen in our country any day. And he kills James. Kills him with the sword. And then he saw that it pleased the Jews. He goes, hey, I can get some votes here. I can get some, you know, I can be liked. They like this sort of thing. So you know what he does? He goes and finds Peter, and he puts him in prison. And his intention was to bring Peter out and kill him. So Peter is in prison. But he wanted to wait till after the Passover was over. All right? So Peter was in prison. He's chained between two guards. In other words, he's got a guard chained to him on the right and a guard chained to him on the left and two more guards at the door. And there's four of these quadrants. And they take turns guarding Peter, because somehow Herod goes, we can't let this guy go. Well, lo and behold, they're sleeping at night. And what a wonderful thing. Peter is sound asleep, without a worry or without a care, ready to be executed. And an angel comes, has to wake him up. Now, I don't know about you, if I was in prison ready to be dealt with the next day, I don't know if I'd get any sleep. Peter was. Angel goes, come on, get up. Peter's kind of going, okay, what's going on here? The chains fall off. The angel says, come on, grab your stuff, we're out of here. The doors open by themselves, which is kind of spooky, okay? You know, we have a door in our house that if it goes so far, you can sit there and you can watch it just open by itself. Now, I know what the problem is with it, but this was something very different. This opened. And then the next door opened. And then the angel leaves and Peter goes, hey, this is real. Goes to a place where God's people were praying. In other words, they ever had a prayer meeting. It was at somebody's house. Now, this is where they met, the early church. They went from house to house. It was home churches, so to speak. And they were praying. Peter obviously knew something was going on there. He goes there, knocks on the gate. Rhoda, who they thought she was mad. I'm wondering if she was all there. because she hears Peter, but she doesn't answer the door. Who does that? Okay. I mean, I would have wanted to find out, really, is it Peter? Is it an angel? Is it, what is this here? And she goes and tells everybody, says, hey, Peter's at the gate. And they go, what? Because my first reaction would have been, why didn't you let him in? But their reaction is, can't be. It must be his angel. But, you know, everybody has a personal angel. I don't know if that's true or not, but people think something like that. Also, it could have been they maybe thought it was his spirit, that he had already died and his spirit was there visiting them. So there's all kinds of possibilities what they thought. But anyway, it was Peter in the flesh. And finally they open it up. They're astonished. They're amazed. He goes, what happened? He tells them what happened, and then he disappears because his life is in danger. And then we have Herod. Herod, irritated. Can you imagine it? He just, you know, it says there's no small stir. This was a huge deal. This was like you lose something that's really important and you go all out to find it. All out to find it. And they couldn't find Peter. He was gone. And of course the soldiers are going, we don't know what happened. Well, obviously, if you're the guy that's appointed these guys to take care of this prisoner, they're accountable, and you're going, what do you mean you don't know what happened? You were chained to him. You got to be kidding me. How's he gone? And your idea is, well, you let him go. So these guys gave their life for Peter's freedom, so to speak, because Herod killed them all. Now, Herod is a man of power and authority, and he leaves there, kind of to go on a little vacation. He says, I've had enough of this. I'm out of here. And he's irritated at these certain people. These certain people, they have a plan. They get in good with this guy, and, you know, they have a meeting with him. He's in his royal apparel. He gets up. He gives a speech, and they're all shouting. It's the voice of a god. And then you know what happens? The worms get Herod. And Herod dies. He dies. So here we have these three portions of the passage that I get today. All right? Each one of these you can have a message on, but we're just going to have one message. But we have an incredible verse here. And it says there in verse 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Through what's going on here, God's word grew and it multiplied. And I want to just say on the onset here, God still wants his word to grow and multiply. In this community, yes, in this place of fellowship, and in the church of God here in this community, and in each one of our lives. And the question that I have to ask myself is God's word still growing and being multiplied in my life? And is that happening in this place of fellowship? And is it happening in this community? God still is in the business of saving lives and changing lives. Is there a growing and a multiplying? The word grow means to increase. You know, I have a garden. Any of you have a garden? Some of you might have gardens, okay? My wife calls it my happy place. None of my other family thinks it is. Okay. And I planted some pumpkins. Oh, I planted several things, but I planted some pumpkins. And I'm going, okay, I'm going to try these. They're like Big Bertha or Big Mama or whatever they are, you know. And they have literally taken over. They are growing and growing and growing and growing. I mean, we're talking about a seed about that big. Okay, I can't believe it. Well, I have pumpkins that are this big already. And it says they can grow up to 200 pounds. Well, I'm looking forward to a 200 pounder, all right? But it's this big already, some of them. And there's several of them there. That vine is growing. And the kids that mow for me, I said, don't mow the vines. Let them continue. They are literally taking over. And that's what God wants in our life. That He wants growth. That's taking over. And not only that, for when the Word of God grew and multiplied, to increase the amount. Now, I don't know, when you drive outside of town, you know there's that herd of longhorn cattle. Has anybody ever seen them? I think they're the coolest cows ever. Years ago, he started with about 4 cows. Okay? And then, I don't know if there's a bull in there. I haven't got close enough to look. But now there's probably 50 or 60 of them out there. There is increase that has happened. And that took over years. You know, and I've known the Lord since I've been 15 years old. And I have to look back and I have to go, is God's word still increasing and multiplying in my life? Because sometimes we get to a place we say, well, this is it and there ain't no more. Not true with God. Not true with God. God wants there to be growth and increase. Now, there's a few things we're going to look at this passage, all right? And we're going to move through it really quick, okay? The Word of God grew and multiplied in the lives of people. Look at verse 21, chapter 11, verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. He's not talking about dogs here. He's not talking about plants. He's talking about people. Something happened here. God's word, okay, is to grow in the lives of people. Acts chapter 6. Just going to look at a few verses in the book of Acts real quick. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, it says here in verse 7, and the word of God increased. How did it increase? The number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Now, we could park there. We're not going to. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I just want you to see God is in the business of growth and increase. 1 Peter chapter 2, it says here in verses 1 and 2, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that what? You may grow thereby. In other words, we don't become a Christian and we get to a certain place and it stops. We are to desire the Word of God so that there would be continued growth and increase in our lives. He says, lay aside everything else. Do you know what happens as we get older? All this stuff becomes in our lives and we worry and we fret about it and we just kind of mull it over. In the end, it's not going to make a lot of difference because we're all going in the way of death. Did you know that? We're all going to die someday. So on that day that we die, all of that stuff really isn't going to matter. And what Peter says, lay it aside and desire something, the sincere word of God, that you might grow thereby. And then Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. It says there, verses 19 and 20, many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together, burned them before all the men, and they counted the price of them, found to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. How do you tell that the word of God is mightily growing and prevailing? It's in the lives of people. You can see it. Something's different. Something's changed. Something's moving on. If someone took a look at your life today, would they say, the Word of God is just mightily growing and prevailing here? I see it. Evidence of it. It was people that was the evidence of this happening. It is seen and it is called the grace of God. Look at verse 23 of Acts 11. Who, when he came, now remember, okay, Barnabas came, it says, and when he came and had seen the grace of God, he saw it. And we see that this word, the word of God growing and multiplying, it is in the midst of adversity. We see Stephen, what happened to him? First martyr recorded, stoned to death. Okay? And after that, God's people were afraid for their lives. But also what happened is God used it to push him out. And as they went out, they preached the word of God. God wants and is looking for growth and multiplying in my life and in the church today. The first thing we want to consider is from death and persecution. From death and persecution. Or the catalyst for going forth. The catalyst for going forth. What was the catalyst for God's people going forth? Now you have to look at the whole book of Acts as a whole. It's moving. It's moving. From there in Acts chapter 1 and 2, it moves all the way up to 28. It's moving and something's happening. And the catalyst that did that, God told the disciples, you're going to be a witness here and other places and other places. And then Stephen dies and he's stoned to death. And then God's people, you know what they do? They go, there it is. This is the adversity where the word of God is going forth. And it's powerful. Because Stephen stood up for the Lord and he lost his life for it. And they go everywhere preaching Christ. Verses 19 and 20 of chapter 11, it says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose of Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus, Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecian, preaching the Lord Jesus. And that's what happened here. They went out and they preached the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about this and I think, what is the catalyst going to be to get me to share Christ with others? What is that catalyst in my life? And each one of us have that. What is it going to take for me to go and preach God's word? But you know what happened? Verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed. And we don't always believe that, do we? That God's going to work if we open our mouth and we share the gospel. We just don't think it's going to happen. So we don't. We're dead in the water, so to speak. Immovable. But then after that, look what happens here. This is amazing. In Antioch, they come, they preach the gospel. God's hand is with them. Several get saved. They hear about it in Jerusalem. Okay, and then verse 23 says, who when they came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. Now, God's word is moving. And it's multiplying, and it's fanning out, and it's going, and it's affecting people's lives. And you know what's needed? Exhortation. And so God sends someone to these people, and he sees God's grace, and he exhorts them to cleave to the Lord. Now, I want you to see something here. Exhortation isn't trying to dig into someone's life and find every nook and cranny and every sin and problem that they have and fix it. Exhortation is you stay with the Lord. Have you ever had someone come to you and try to exhort you and you already know what the problem is? We already know. And sometimes that does need to be addressed. But what God wants is us to come and say, stay with the Lord. Cleave to him. And that's what this guy is doing. He's cleaving to him. But now, only that, all right, there's teaching going on. Verse 26, he goes and gets Paul, brings him back, and they taught the people for a whole year. they trained others so others could train others, and others could train others and teach others and encourage others and disciple. This is a whole discipling kind of thing going on here. And God's word is just going like this. Sometimes we think, well, the increase is people getting saved. That's not it. That's just the beginning. That's just the part of it. That's the power of God bringing men and women into salvation and eternal life. But God wants after that, that teaching and exhortation and that care and love and concern for one another. And the Word of God grows. And it increases. And it multiplies. But God wants us to be involved with doing these things. And then there's a big famine, and it got word in Antioch. So you know what they do? Verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea. They sent money back to Jerusalem, Judea, for God's people. There was a real care and love and concern that was coming out of all of this. And you know what it was? It's proof. God moving, changing the lives of men and women, and using men and women for the furtherance of His word. And then we see, from imprisonment to freedom. Or you can put it this way, God can do the impossible, the impossible. We see the vexing of the church, verse 1 of chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. That word vex is not a very good word, okay? It means brutal, unfeeling persecution of the church. Brutal, without feeling persecution of the church. And that's the kind of man Herod was. And this is the kind of place that God wants to bring forth His word. Right there in that spot. We get into situations like that and we just say, oh, I want to get out. I want to get out. And it's all about me, 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 myself, and I. And you know what? We do. We get into situations where we feel imprisoned. God wants to bring us to freedom. Freedom. Verse 4, look what it says. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring forth unto the people. Imprisonment for execution. This was going to be a public display. All right. It's possible all the people missed out on James. It says he just killed him with the sword. This was going to be an event. They were bringing one of the key guys that were in this sect called Christianity now. And he was imprisoned. And I believe Peter was at peace. And sometimes we get into situations, places in our life, we lose all peace. One of the reasons is because we stop believing God, that He wants to do something even in that place. He's imprisoned, okay? And something is going on. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. We have divine intervention here. We have divine intervention. And in our lives, God is bringing forth things, and we don't want to forget that He can do whatever He wants. He's in control. And we freak out sometimes when there's situations in our lives that are uncomfortable and difficult. We forget to remember God, but fortunately it says the church of God was praying for him. How? Unceasingly. Unceasingly. Sometimes, you know what God does? He puts a burden on your heart for someone. You know what you do? You pray for them unceasingly. Through the day, you pray for them. You don't know what's going on. Or maybe you do. Maybe you know there's a situation and it's difficult. You pray and you pray. And you know what? God can do something beyond and above what we've ever thought or asked. We believe that as Christians. We do. We absolutely believe that. Peter, he's kept. Okay. Prayers made. Peter is bound, verse 6. Okay? I mean, he's caught. I don't know. You know, my grandsons tried to put some little handcuffs on me the other day, and I'm going, no way. They'll go, come on, Grandpa, just put your hand back here. We'll put these handcuffs on you. I'm going, I don't think so. Have you ever had handcuffs on? It's not very fun. You're bound. You can't do it unless, you know, some escape artist, but, you know, they had him bound. And these probably weren't the handcuffs we have today or the zip ties. These were probably those lock things, you know, and they got the key in them and they lock him and cinch him in. And not only that, he's bound between two soldiers and there's absolutely no way out. No way. Have you ever been in that situation where there's no way out of this? I don't see any kind of good outcome from this. Now, that brings me to something I'll just say. I don't know why God lets one person die and one not. James died, Stephen died. Okay? Peter did not. But God uses Peter. God used Stephen, and he used James. When your time's your time, your time is your time. We don't have to be afraid of that. Okay? But there are situations God can work. And you know what he does? He sends an angel. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. I don't know. This would have been one of the coolest things ever, I think. Angels, and we could talk about angels a lot here, but angels aren't these little white people with little fluffy white wings. And they are majestic beings. Okay? I'm going, this would have been really cool. When you see angels in here, people were afraid of them. God sends an angel, pokes him in the side, and he says, hey, first off, there's light, okay? There's light. And God works in light. And a lot of times when we're in a situation, you know what God does? He brings in the light and opens our eyes, and we see. Now, Peter was sleeping. He kicks him, shoves him. I don't know what he did. I can imagine him going, it's probably what I would do. Get up. He wakes up. Okay. He says, get up quickly. And as he was getting up, the chains fell off. Now think about this in our own lives. We get in a situation, there's prayer, we're praying for someone, we're praying for ourselves, our situation, and all of a sudden something new happens and arises, and we go, incredible. And I can tell you stories of how God has worked in different ways because people pray. And you just go, that's amazing. It is the hand of God. We believe that. We believe God can do the impossible and he can free the prisoner. He tells him, get dressed. And Peter, of course, he's thinking, this is a big dream. All right. The doors open on their own. How that happened, we have no idea. And that could have been something that had been going on for months or days or years or whatever. And then all of a sudden a door opens and you go, I have no idea how that happened. But you know what God says? Go through it. Get through. Come on, move. Move, move, move. And when that time happens, it's not a time to just sit back and go, oh, look what's going on. I need to evaluate this and check it out and take notes and ponder. No, it says move. Go. We're so lazy and we're so laid back and we got to think about this for a long time. You don't see that with God's people here. Door was open, boom, you go through it. You know, my granddaughter, my newest granddaughter, she crawls, okay? And you know what? When she sees an open door, she's on her way. She wants to go through it, okay? And you got to have to sneak through to get, you know, so she doesn't follow you because she wants it. That's how God wants us to be. Get through it. And there's deliverance. And then you know what happens? 12 to 17, there's fellowship with God's people. Peter goes, of course, to the place that they're praying. He says, here I am. They're astonished. They're amazed. He tells them the whole story, and we're going, this is incredible. And then he leaves. And now we see, I put it this way, God wants growing and multiplying in our life from death and persecution, from imprisonment to freedom, and under any government, or in whatever rule we are under. Herod is in power here. He is the rule, and he's not a very good ruler. And he's flexing his muscles. He's killing people at a whim. He's angry. He's mad. He's ready to deal with these other people. They make a league. They come up with a plan, you know, how we're going to get to him. Herod comes in with his pomp and glory, and he begins to give a speech. He might have been a good speech giver. Who knows? Some of these tyrants throughout history have been incredible speech givers to move people, and the people start calling him a god. And we see Herod's demise and his ends. The worms get him. The worms get him. God is looking for growth and multiplying in our lives. The word of God was preached. We need God's word. It is powerful. The word of God was received. We are to believe it. The word of God changes us. We are to respond and make application to it. The word of God grew and multiplied. Other translation puts it, continued, spread, flourished. Though all we go through, all we encounter in our lives, it says in verse 24, but the word of God. And we need to understand something today. We have our lives and we live in this world. Some of our lives are more difficult than others. Some of them, you wonder they don't have any difficulty. Doesn't matter. It says, but the word of God. We can go through death and persecution, imprisonment, freedom, governments, tyrants, but the word of God. That's who we are. We're Christians. But the word of God. And we see how the word of God went from Acts 1 to Acts 28. And you know what it did? It influenced the world for 2,000 years. And it still is. What am I holding on to today? The word of God. It grew and it multiplied. I have two applications for us. Okay? Two applications for us. One, I want to challenge you and encourage you to preach the gospel to someone this week. Can you do that? I mean, think about it. These guys, that's all they did. And we're not just talking about the 12 disciples, okay, 12 apostles, the disciples. We are disciples here. We are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means we're men and women that are learning. That's what that word disciple means. It says they went out and they preached the gospel. They were focused about it. They did it with intention. They did it with the power of God. They did it with the Holy Spirit. And they did it in men's lives, men and women's lives changed. So I want to challenge you. Preach the gospel to someone this week. Why not? Why not? And the second thing is to be under the word of God. Be under the word of God. And we could bank here and talk about how powerful God's word is, and it is very powerful. It created the heavens and the earth, and we're going to see that in the book of Genesis when we start that in September. You want to come to that, okay? Because those are the 11 incredibly important chapters and fundamental and foundation to our walk with God. God spoke and he created. He brought something out of nothing. And sometimes we think, I can't go any further. I can't do it. It's too hard. God says, I have something for you to cleave to be under the power of my word. that's going to change your life. And that's what I'm looking for. If you don't read your Bible, I want to exhort you here. I'm just stating and claim it. You're a Christian. You should be reading your Bibles. It's really simple. Open it up, read it, ask God to speak to your heart, and He will. Guaranteed. His word does not come back void. Get under the word of God and say yes to it. Praise God. I think we got it. He's good. Don't neglect our responsibility as disciples of the Lord. Share about the Lord Jesus. Let Him work and move in our lives. Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, Lord, we bless You, we praise You, we exalt You today. We thank You that You are the Almighty One. You are the Creator of the heavens and the earth, all that is visible, all that is invisible. You are the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You are our God here today. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. We ask that You would fill each one of us. We pray that You would anoint us this week for that wonderful, that awesome perspective of sharing Christ with someone. And we pray, O Lord, for salvation. We pray that the Word of God would be increased and multiplied and grow. And Lord, we ask that it would grow in our lives. May we be faithful students of Your Word. We commit our lives into Your hands. We say we are Yours. We ask for Your help, O Lord. We bless You, we praise You, we exalt You. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for coming today.